You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? It's a really weird, but you're doing in my head. It's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information. Asking for the hit plug makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and thanks again to Pat Wood for graciously giving us 2 hours of his time. And we talked about that. I said, Pat, I know you got a lot that you're working on. How much time do we need? Could you do two? And he goes, oh, yeah, we can do two quite easily. And he did do it quite easily. And there was a lot of things that we left on the table, but we won't wait so long to have Pat back, because that was just a terrific 2 hours with him. And you want to know about the smart grid, technocracy, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and all the other names are attaching to it now to try to confuse us. He's your go-to guy. No question about it. Well, we've got an app, and it's good for Android users. And the app, when it comes to Globalstar, you can listen live, but there are three different applications there that you have to get into. And I was able to go through that here in the last break real briefly, and I was able to pull it up. And I understand a couple people have had problems. I'll get with our webmaster tomorrow. I'll get some directions from him on how to best explain it to people, and then we'll go ahead and post those to make your listening a little bit easier. I love the app. It takes you right to our YouTube channel. Takes you right to the articles, archives. It's terrific. One-stop shopping. Well, as I promised, too, we were going to be setting up some mini podcast interviews. And I'm in the process of scheduling those now. I've got two scheduled for this week. And we're going to try to do 2 to 3 every week, in addition to single subject monologues by yours truly that last about 5 minutes. So that's always up on YouTube. And people said, Dave, do a daily show. I can't. I don't have the time. I don't think I have the energy. But I can do this, and I think it takes the place of a daily show in many regard. Well, I want to remind everybody, too, that I hope that you're heeding my advice. The Deutsche Bank failed its stress test last week. Don't get caught with all your money in the bank. Keep cash on hand, but also convert a lot of that into precious metals. And the only guy who I would work with in this regard, and I shouldn't say the only guy, but to me, my most trusted contact here, the guy who I have a relationship with both personally and professionally, is Steve Quayle. And you can trust him. He would never intentionally mislead anybody. It's not in his DNA. In fact, he's actually turned people away from investing because he didn't think it was right for them. And he'll tell you. Give him a call tomorrow. If you're curious about how to convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals, call Steve tomorrow at 406-586-4842. And remember, if you can't touch it, forget the certificates. If you can't touch it, you don't own it. And again, don't forget about Prepping Headquarters Deluxe. Bob Griswold, ReadyMadeResources.com. Anything you want, anything you need, I would recommend going to ReadyMadeResources.com and then give Bob Griswold a call at 1-800-627-3809. And again, we're pushing the food hard. And people are starting to get the message. I was talking to the president of Numana the other day. We did an email exchange, and sales are up because people know there's trouble. And all I got to say is, if you don't think that people like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, won't use food as a weapon designed to get you to come to the camp so they can determine suitability, you are sadly mistaken. Don't let food be used as manipulation against you. And again, I want to emphasize Executive Order 13603. the control of all food, introduction of slave labor, on and on and on. It's all being beta tested right now in Venezuela. And I have written an article on the Common Sense Show, and you can review that. In fact, Katie and I might have time to talk about that in the latter part of this hour. And again, scene.live for your social media needs. It's great fun. It's great to dialogue and interact with people who are like-minded and not have to put up with Facebook's NSA nonsense. Well, those are the proud people that help bring us our show to you every Sunday evening here on Global Star Radio Network, which is, I don't think there's better programming anywhere than on Global Star Radio Network. And my good friend Doug Hagman and Ted Brower and on and on and on and on, all the great shows that are here. You just need to keep what you use as a dial tuned to one place. Okay, Katie.
Yes.
We have some business to take care of. Mm-hmm. Medical business.
The health report.
Oh, gosh. Are you, you know, we both got a little ways to go, but are you dreading going on Medicare as much as I am?
Oh, I don't know. You know, honestly, Dave, I feel like I'm 30. I don't have to worry about that for another 30 years. Okay. Well, okay, I feel like I'm 30, but I haven't looked into it. I don't know anything about it. I don't want it. Is it mandatory?
No. Yeah, I know.
I don't.
Ugh. And anything that's mandatory is automatically bad for you.
Yes, yes. That's why I'm doing my best to take care of myself and trying to get the audience to take care of themselves. Because if it is mandatory, that's one thing. But if you actually need to use it, that's another. So let's move in a direction where you hopefully
Katie,
don't have to use it.
Before you start in, I want to point out something. I released your segment in which you talked about how to live off the land, basically, and I dressed it up as a story because that's what it was, and I released it. It went viral.
Really?
And that's available on YouTube. How to survive when? I'm trying to think how I titled it. How to survive if you have to go on the run or something like that? Because that's what I would envision that you would have to do that. As you'd be on the run out in the wild and have to differentiate between good berries and bad berries, and you did a good job of going through that. I've listened to that interview 3 times, and it went viral, and it's still going strong because people are recirculating it to their friends. And so I wanted to call attention to that, and it's up there on our YouTube channel, and I also have it posted on thecommonsenseshow.com. Oh, when did I do that? I don't remember. But
well, and that was mainly about getting people to start looking now before everything shuts down, reading and researching and experiment with gardening and get rolling, learn about it, because you don't want to wait till it's crisis time. So, good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Okay. So, you told us what was on tap as we finished our last segment. Let's jump into what's on tap.
Jump in. Yeah. This is sort of a... I'm going to do a ad lib on this one because it's part of my story and part of a story of a friend of mine. And it's a prime example of why for a year and a half now I've been encouraging people to do their own research as much as possible when they have a health issue. So be curious, number one. Ask questions of their doctors. Be vigilant about your health and your health care providers. And never assume that the medical field knows everything. You can help them in some instances. It's your body, it's your future. And we take, my example I gave a while back, we take our cars in for some sort of mechanical problem, and we generally don't say, just make it stop what it's doing. I mean, we want to know what it is. Sometimes we ask why, but for sure we ask how much. And we want to know what we're paying for. So why don't we do that with our bodies, with our doctors? And I say, with the scam we have running healthcare in this country called insurance, think about that. We may not ask many questions. We figure insurance will pay for it. But that leads us down a really dangerous slope, Dave, as to why we've stopped asking questions. I wonder sometimes if that's intentional or just a byproduct or whatever. I'm not even going to go down there. But think about that. If everything's paid for, we just say, yep, just do it. So we've stopped being curious. So I'm saying get involved. Ask why I need this. What is it? What does this particular procedure do? Are there side effects to this drug or that drug or this procedure? I mean, we trust our doctors, and our doctors are just people. They're trained in a specific field, in a specific way. Generally, that would be by the pharmaceutical industry. We have to learn to think outside the box if we want to get off this medical merry-go-round. And I also want to preface that with there are many great doctors in this country. They're smart, they're compassionate, they're curious doctors who are willing to work with you as an equal in any endeavor and not threatened by a joint partnership, say, with an alternative or a holistic doctor. So seek them out. Interview them. Get to know them. What is their philosophy? Remember, they are constrained by the rules of the industry. So use all the tools they offer, but do it in a way that's educated and you feel you're getting the best options from all sides. So it's crisis care and the healing arts. Crisis care is modern medicine. The healing arts is health care. That's my definition of it. But don't be a pawn to the system. Instead, be informed citizens who have a health issue. Think about that. When we say the word patient, it immediately puts us down a little bit. You have doctor, patient. Be an informed citizen who has a health issue. You know, unnecessary procedures in many cases, quick and not so well investigated diagnoses, running us through expensive and sometimes unnecessary treadmills of tests and all kinds of things. And I'm not trashing the medical field. Again, what I'm doing is helping people to understand how it works and get invested in everything you can. Ask a lot of questions. Get the answers you need to be comfortable. They may not be what you want to hear, but this is where you could get a second opinion. Work with a holistic doctor alongside your surgeon or your GP or your oncologist. Know you have exhausted possibilities before taking drastic measures. Each case is different. And some issues may require a quicker response. But this is where you still want to know more than they are telling you. I mean, medicine is called a practice for a good reason, but many times taking a thoughtful approach and a life-changing decision is prudent. So I have a friend who came to me with a very serious health issue. And, you know, she knew what I went through. And I have talked with her about getting on a clean diet, supplements, and some other ideas to boost her immune system, and directed her to some holistic healthcare providers. So this is an ongoing story, but I wanted to share this. So back in early June, she had two visits a couple weeks apart because she was having a problem with her throat. So the doctor gave her antibiotics, a throat in her ears. So the doctor gave her antibiotics, and her ears were really inflamed. There was the pain had gone away, but her voice had not recovered. So he determined the left ear was clogged and referred her to an ENT who did some blood work. She didn't hear from the ENT for almost 3 weeks and finally called them to set an appointment. Well, on June 18th, the ENT cleaned out her ear and ran a scope down her throat. So this doctor couldn't see anything and ordered a CT scan and biopsy. Well, the CT scan on her neck, she had a CT scan on her neck, but no biopsy. The ENT called her that night with the results and said, "I'm so sorry," which is kind of like, "Are you sitting down?" Which kind of freaked her out. And this ENT said she thought it was stage 4. Cancer. Now, I'm sorry, but there was no biopsy. This was from a CT scan, and this person told her she had stage 4 cancer. Wow. Way out of line. I'm not even a medical professional. That was just... So the end of July, She meets with a surgeon at a hospital, and he performs the same kind of scope down the throat, and he's able to see the affected area. He also does a needle biopsy. And immediately he's already telling her how they're going to treat this. Guess what that treatment is, Dave? Take a wild guess.
Chemo or radiation?
Surgery, chemo, and radiation.
Oh, the big three.
Yeah. Just from a needle biopsy and a scope. So he's got her ready to go. He wanted to schedule her for surgery right away. And keep in mind here, she had not even talked to an oncologist. She's given zero other options. Basically, it would have been a total laryngectomy, leaving her with no voice and a hole in her throat for the rest of her life. And they don't even know what it is. So I had talked to her and I said, look, ask questions. So I armed her with a bunch of questions. And the nurse calls with the results. And she basically was unable to answer her questions. This woman wanted to know what kind of cancer, what's the grade of the cancer, what's the aggression rate, is it spread, what are we dealing with here? So after her questions, she had to hang up. She didn't know. She said, oh, no one's ever asked me this before. And so she had to hang up and call her back. Yet they're ready to schedule to have her throat, a laryngectomy. Okay, everybody sitting down here. she's, you know, the woman again said nobody ever asked her. It's like it kind of threw her, and so she called back. And you know, my comment to all this is that cancer is not a one size fits all, and not every diagnosis requires the same treatment. But to this hospital, apparently, cancer is any kind of meaning surgery, chemo, and radiation. It wasn't until she began to ask questions that the train slowed down a little bit. Isn't that interesting?
That's our first line of defense. Burn it out and poison it.
That's why my opening little monologue there was about people. Research as much as you can before you go in. And so anyway, this goes on and it said the surgeon called her at home, and he couldn't answer any of the questions either. He got very technical, and she said it made him sound all-knowing and all-important, and I told him I thought I might look into some other options, including natural treatments. His response on the phone to me was, I had a patient go to China once, but he came back when he couldn't breathe anymore. And so her immediate response was, what? Is this fear-mongering?
Yeah,
and
it is.
I've never heard of any cancer clinics in China, and maybe in Mexico, but China? But anyway, so that was his reaction to that. And she did end up going to an oncologist who was at least willing to work with her on other options. She suggested immunotherapy, which, remember when we had Ty Bollinger on the show, and I asked him at the end of the show about immunotherapy, and there's immunotherapy sponsored and funded by the drug companies, and then there's immunotherapy that would consist of cancer-fighting mushrooms and all kinds of different things, which Ty said that would be his choice of immunotherapy. But anyway, she said she was willing to administer immunotherapy, but listen to this. However, the insurance company will only do immunotherapy if chemo has been done first. What do you think of that?
Accomplice to manslaughter?
That's part of the scam. It's all intertwined.
Really.
They won't cover immunotherapy unless chemo is part of it. Buy one, get one free? Is that how that goes? This is just crazy. So basically what she's done is slowed it down. She's working with her her holistic doctor. She's on a completely cancer diet. And here's the kicker. She had some teeth removed because I had her research a lot about the mouth and cancer, especially in the upper body. So she had an infected, she had a tooth that was giving her trouble. She had a couple of teeth removed. Well, lo and behold, about 4 days after that tooth the infected tooth and a couple other tooth that were in bad shape were removed. Guess what started happening, Dave? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
You're putting me on the spot, mm-hmm. but I know this is going to lead in a positive direction for her diagnosis.
Yeah, we're not done yet, but here's what's happening with this. Within a couple of days, the dentist said that the tooth was terribly infected, the bone was infected, and for the last few days, she has now said she's draining all kinds of, it was pussy, it was a lot of mucus in the throat, her throat is feeling better, her ear is not giving her trouble anymore, she's had a terrible, terrible ear infection since last March. And remember, I talked about this on the show, how root canals or any kind of mouth infection or mouth issues, your body will hold off that infection as much as it can. And when it can, it begins to encapsulate that infection so it doesn't travel through the rest of the body. And I'm taking a wild guess and saying perhaps this chronic ear infection, this tooth, just the immune system couldn't handle it anymore. And it started to spread. So her ear is cleared up, and she actually said that her voice is beginning to come back just a bit, and her throat is starting to feel better. Now, it's all still there. She can feel the lump and burning when she eats acidic food. It's still there, but these things take time. But isn't that interesting that pulling out the tooth and eating a clean diet, just after a couple of weeks, there have been small changes, and she feels better. She said she feels a little better, and she can tell. I am going to follow this as far as I can follow this, because it's, like I said, it's still in the early stages of discovery, and she's staying on her diet and doing all the things that are boosting her immune system and eating, you know, juicing and eating raw food. She's cut out processed foods, sugar, carbs, all those things. And
do you hear that, Katie? Katie, do you hear that?
What is that?
That's the EPA and the FDA and the CDC. They're at your door. Open up, young lady. You're not allowed to spread common sense knowledge that'll help people.
I know.
And if you don't answer, they're going to get louder.
Then they call in the armed division of the FDA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I'll talk until I can't talk anymore, and that's just the way it goes. But another interesting aspect to this was the original surgeon wanted to take out the entire lump, not knowing what it was and everything else, but he wanted to take out the entire lump, which would have been her larynx. Now that she has backed off a little bit, gone to an oncologist, slowed things up a bit, he will not do the surgery unless she wanted to have part of it removed and perhaps follow through and see if the body would respond, which it will, to boosting the immune system, just getting enough of it out of the way. He won't do that. Mm-hmm. He won't do a partial surgery. Now, I don't know why. So this oncologist, or this sort of alternative oncologist suggested she get a second opinion, which I think is great. So that's where they are now. But I found that interesting that he wouldn't go in and do a partial surgery without chemo or radiation.
Katie, you know why? NIH, baby, not invented here. Since I didn't think to do this, and I'm the almighty on top of the medical empire, and you're just a little peon. Mm-hmm. You didn't do exactly as I said. You questioned my judgment by getting a second opinion. Screw you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and perhaps there's some liability in there if she's doing some more alternative methods. He doesn't want to be involved in it. I don't know. I'm guessing.
That's a load of crap.
But the whole
not that you're
point
saying
of
that,
this,
but that viewpoint is a load of crap.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. Of course it is. But the point of this is a small example of why I want to educate people on really investing in your own health and not turning it over to a doctor or a system automatically. Be in a partnership with your doctor. Be in a partnership with your oncologist, your GP, your holistic doctor, your dentist, your bio dentist. find out what they're doing. What's going on in there? Is there another way? What is this? Oh, I like that. Well, I don't know about that. Let's look into that. Because a lot of times these doctors don't know, and you may be teaching them things. Now, some of them can't follow through because it's not within their training. But here's another quick story along this line. I talked to a woman the other day who's, if I got this right, it was her grandson. And he had a brain tumor, and he's at Children's Hospital, and they did surgery on the tumor, and he's going through the chemo and everything. But this child's parents are kind of hip on alternative. They're more educated than, say, our parents were. So they talked to the doctors, and they said they were putting lavender on the scar. And after, gosh, a couple of weeks, they brought the baby in for his treatments, and the nurses were astonished that there was so little scarring. And they were using frankincense. They talked to the doctor. They said, we heard about frankincense and cancer, and we want to use frankincense on our baby, and we are using it. And the doctor said, that's great. You know, that's fine. I can't document it. I can't put it in my charts and my notes. I can't have any documentation of it. But go for it. If you think this is going to work.
Doesn't that bother you, the doctor said that?
Yes and no. And I'll tell you why. Yes, because he is at least encouraging these people. But I'll tell you, Dave, the reason I say this is because these parents were educated enough that they went in and they said, this is what we're doing to our child. This is what we're doing with our child, and we're helping our child. We just wanted you to know. And so the doctors weren't all that, no, you can't do that. That's what I'm looking for. It's baby steps, Dave. They can't condone it. Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. They can't say, sure, go ahead, yeah, let me write that down, because they're constrained by the industry, and that's who I point my finger at, is the industry. Because the doctors are only doing what the industry dictates they can and cannot do, recommend, yeah. Use.
I have a problem with that. I was just following orders, Dr. Mengele. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that attitude.
I know.
If you have a fiduciary duty to your patient, if you see something perform in a certain way, no, it's not research. Yes, it's anecdotal. But then again, you doctors, you represent a profession that kills over 750,000 people each year. We call it death by doctor. It's one of the highest in the world. And you want to obey the regulations of a system that's so lethal for so many, and you won't believe your lying eyes? I mean, that, Katie, is maddening to me.
It is maddening. It is maddening. And I experienced it myself. I, to this day, have not heard from my surgeon after seeing my final reports. I have not heard back from my oncologist after reading my final reports, and it's been almost 2 months. They don't want anything to do with me, and it's the story I did last winter called The Case of the Disappearing Cancer Patient. If you succeed outside the system, you do not exist. But the encouraging thing, Dave, is these educated parents went to their physician and said, we're doing this, it's working, and if more people did that, if more people asked questions, if more people did what this woman is doing, what is that going to do to the medical industry? They're scratching their heads. They know this works. I mean, the frankincense, lemongrass, all these oils are in research papers in PubMed, which is a governmental research paper, or a research site where doctors and researchers and scientists go to deposit their research. They know it's there. So it's baby steps, but you know what? I'm ready for one giant step, more and more and more. It's power to the people. People get out there and start asking questions.
Katie.
Yes?
This is what it comes down to. Hmm. Pat Wood talked about the religion of climate change. It's a religion, and we're doing
Scientism?
The same stupid thing, with medicine.
Pharmacists.
It's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like George Bush's attitude. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
Yeah. It's a tough industry. They own everything globally. They own it. And then they pick off doctors who don't go. What are we up to, 50 all holistic doctors now in the last 6 months to a year that have mysteriously died. It's not just the medical industry. I mean, look at the 5 or 6 people in the last 2 weeks who've died close to Hillary. Researching Hillary, doing books on Hillary, serving Hillary papers, court subpoenas. So it's the way they do things. It's just the way it is. But as Pat said in the last few minutes of his time on the show, he said, what are we going to do about it? We push back. We show up at the meetings. We challenge people. We ask questions. We talk to our neighbors, educate people on these things. It is getting out there. I want to see it getting out there faster. So,
yeah,
big wish.
I was on Randy Yarbrough's show, and Paul Martin was hosting on Thursday. And I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I got into the Stacey Lynn, Let's Steal Her Son, Jaden, several years ago, 2011. And I got involved in the case and found so much corruption, so much Agenda 21. And the bottom line is, if you're an Agenda 21 anti-advocate, an opponent, they'll come after you where you're weakest. They'll take your kids. They'll cost you your employment. They'll drive you out of town. We had someone call into the show who said, yeah, you can't live here or fit into any level, you know, if you don't drink their Kool-Aid. And you look at that situation. And Virginia Farber, and I wanted to bring this up with Pat. We didn't have time. You know, Virginia, a couple of years ago, went for the opt-out clause on the smart meters. And she said, I don't want them. And they jumped her fence and made her take them with the sheriffs there. Armed law enforcement. Like this middle-aged lady is somehow going to do something to them. And this is craziness. They don't even respect their own administrative policies. There are no rules. There's rules for thee, but not for me.
The lawlessness starts at the top. I mean, we have a president who, on camera, said we did not pay Iran a ransom. And then it came out, then they admitted they did. And there's...
Why not?
Nothing. There's no pushback. It's complete lawlessness. So all we can do is do the righteous thing, keep speaking out until we can't, you know, our last breath. Out of my cold, dead hands, as Charlton Heston said. So there you go.
I still remember that. Suffering from Alzheimer's at the time, still able to reach out and utter those words. I love that guy. He had
that was
so
just
much
one coherent moment.
No. He was a long time advocate for the truth. And Clint Eastwood. He and Clint Eastwood both, a men cut from a similar background. Yeah. You know the thing I wanted to bring up
when he made that.
That was odd. Did you hear that? Katie, are you there?
What?
Okay, thought I lost you for a minute.
Oh, I just sounded like Skype. No, it sounded like Skype went out.
Okay, well, what I was going to say, and I wanted to bring this up with Pat as well, and I didn't have a chance, about how we're conditioned in the media. You know, the doctor's always right, you know, and the way they treat you, and you know, they come into the room, and I have the Holy Grail here, and, you know, it's sickening how arrogant the profession is. But the whole attitude in medicine is far worse in many other areas. And when Pat was talking about Agenda 21 policies and technocracy coming in, you know, wholesale, every part of our life, I remembered the first 20 minutes I watched the movie The Hunger Games. And that author never wrote anything before that trilogy except for children's fantasy books. I'll make sure I get this out because I want people to know how we're conditioned to propagandize. Never. And then my son, when he was in fifth grade, and I had him on for a cameo, and he talked about a book he read called Among the Hidden, in which it was food control, population control. And it was written by Margaret Turner Haddix. And I tried to interview both of these people. and they wouldn't answer me. And the author of Among the Hidden wasn't that big, and she had done nothing but child fantasy books. They were given the script, told to write it, and this is how we're conditioned in every part of our life, whether it's medicine, whether it's accepting the new way of life in which we're going to be new neo-feudalistic serfs.
Well, they've been doing that with Hollywood movies for 20, 30 years.
Well, it's getting to be a lot more insidious.
It is. Well, now it's in your face because it's time. They're like, okay, we're done playing around. Now it's time to flip the switch or pull the trigger. But can I say one more thing about this health segment? One more quickie.
Yeah.
In terms of insurance and the scam of insurance, I just got an email reminder from a friend of mine how insurance is tied to this entire mess. There's something called MediShare. People look up MediShare. I'm on MediShare. I just signed up a couple months ago. It's a Christian-based, it's not insurance, it's a share, it's a medical sharing, bill sharing program. It is Obamacare compliant. MediShare. Please look it up. Get out of the scam. And that's it.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not even aware of that. We're gonna have to. You're gonna have to educate me on this.
I have
never heard of it.
I've
got
terrific.
Conventional insurance too. As you know, I take these two injections each twice a month, and they're very expensive. This is why your insurance is so high.
Right.
One treatment is $4,000.
Oh my gosh.
Two shots are $2,000, and I joke with the nurse that is, hey, this has got to be gold you're putting into me. And I had done this for three and a half years, Katie, until one day I got a bill, and it said, we're not paying this, we're not responsible for this, and they billed me for $4,000. And after I made 11 phone calls, and I want to give United Healthcare, that wonderful American corporation, all the credit they deserve here. After I called United and talked to totally untrained and worthless people, on the 11th phone call, I finally got a hold of a lady who enlightened me. So United, all your employees don't drink from the Kool-Aid. And she said, Dave, I figured out what's happened here. She said, we send the bill because it's a medicine that comes from our pharmacy that we own, and we send it to this pharmacy, and they wrote the wrong code number. They left off the dash A. They didn't have any dash. And so that was the ICD diagnosis, and so they denied payment. And I said, well, this is easy. They just go back and do a redo, and I'll forgive them for frustrating me and wasting all this time of mine. And she said, yeah, she gave me details and so forth. Well, I called up our representative who administers our insurance, and I told her. I said, you know, we're to the point where I've already talked to Channel 3 on your side. I've had a preliminary conversation with someone from the Attorney General's office, because here's what I found out they did. This lady actually contacted me again and told me, Dave, you may not know this. She goes, did you file a first-level appeal? And I said, no. And she said, well, your signature's on here. And I said, appeal for what? Appeal to get it paid under the wrong code. And the appeal was rejected. And I said, well, who did that? And she said, Optima, our pharmacy, and United okayed it. So I was armed with this information, and I started calling, like I said, the AG's office. Of course, you know, try to get somewhere with the AG's office on prosecuting these criminals, and I think you're going to have a cold day in hell before it happens. But Channel 3 was really interested in the story, and they had already been on United for some other billing issues. And so I'm talking to our insurance rep, and I said, number one, I said, I'm not paying. Number two, they don't know who they're screwing with. I said, I have contact in one form or another with over 2 million people a month. And I said, and I can make their lives miserable as I call them out repetitively. And I said, and you know me. This person knows me personally because I've complained before. And she goes, I know, you're a bulldog. And I said, well, who do I have to talk to? And she said, well, the people who can make the decision won't talk to you. And I said, well, isn't that convenient? And I said, well, who can talk to them? And she said, well, I can. And I said, well, here's my URL, and I think that you need to let them know that we're going to talk about them every week. We run a few commercials for friends of mine for their products. We'll be happy to run an anti-United Healthcare commercial. Well, I didn't even get a letter of apology. I got, this is a criminal act. They forged my signature on an official submission for an appeal. That's a felony.
Yeah, that's a biggie. What happened?
And they just, oh, well, that's just the way we do business.
Wow.
We tried to screw you out of $4,000, Mr. Hodges, but, you know, you were persistent and you wouldn't give in. And I even had the nurses where I go. I mean, I'm friends with these nurses, known them for years. And they were upset. And they were on my side and they were helping me. But that's what you got to do with these criminals. I don't like Michael Moore, but when he made the movie Sicko, there were some elements of that movie that were accurate. And the medical industry would just as soon see you die than to treat you. In fact, they'd rather see you die than to treat you, just as long as they get your money. Mm-hmm. You know, they did this practice, Michael Moore showed this, and my hat's off to him for this. And he said, photographed people being taken out of hospitals like USC and dumped in Skid Row in Los Angeles, hoping a shelter will see someone in a thin robe or a thin medical, whatever you call it, no shoes, stitches still in them. One lady still had the IV in her arm. And then the people will come out, and sometimes they'll see them, they'll get them to a shelter and so forth. And this practice is called dumping.
Mm-hmm.
And these corporations, everyone says, well, Obama, universal health care, isn't this a great thing? Well, first of all, there were 13 health corporations that ran the country before Obamacare. Now there's 4. So people wonder why Obamacare sucks, and it does. It's a worthless piece of trash. This is why. And it's one more avenue of our life that's totally corrupted by greed. We have no firewall with our government to protect us. Your congressmen get free health care for life. They pay no deductibles. I was at a John McCain rally one time, and this is when he was trying to steal my property, so I used to follow him around and try to make his life miserable and pass out literature about him. And there was a guy who stood up, and he said, Senator McCain, tell me, how do you, since you work for me, how do you have better health care than I do? And people started clapping, and McCain pointed to security to escort the guy out.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The untouchable
class. Yeah, I showed
class.
That on video. Yeah, it's just, Katie.
Well, that's what I was getting at with the whole medical thing. When you challenge them, when you uncover the truth, they either pick you off, escort you out, or if you're in a doctor's office, they just walk away. Like, this doctor just didn't want to have anything. I'm guessing he didn't want to have anything to do with her anymore. My doctors don't want to have anything to do with me anymore. There is the touchable class and the untouchable class. It's just the way it is.
Well,
they are untouchable.
And we need to make them touchable.
And well, we are, and that's what we do on this show every week, is encourage people, learn what's happening. Go out and do something about it. Talk to people. Share these podcasts. Wake people up. Get the sheep.
But the people in this country, there's still way too many sheep. I mean, we hear about the threat with the Russians and the Chinese and the poisonous food that we have and the chemtrails and the dirty water with the fluoride and all this. And people hear this stuff and they act like, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. What? What do you mean that's the way it's supposed to be?
Well, yes.
And when you bring it up, Katie, you're a conspiracy theorist.
A conspiracy theorist. You know, Dave, somebody called me a conspiracy theorist. And I said, okay, let's break that down. A conspiracy is two or more people that plan something in secret. Well, don't parents do that when they're disciplining their child? So I guess everybody is a conspiracist. And a theory is generally the beginning of any investigation. You have a theory about something, and so you want to find more facts. And so when the two come together, then you uncover the truth.
Yes.
So let's teach people this, they have this mantra, ooh, conspiracy theory. Break down the words, challenge them. Well, what do you think that means? What do you think that means? And when they actually think about what they've been vomiting up all these years, then they're the idiot. Because mm-hmm. it's a very real concept. It's a very real practice. It's, and a lot of these conspiracy theories are being unveiled by WikiLeaks and Snowden. And wow, imagine that. So they weren't conspiracy theorists are having their day in court, Dave.
I had a guy who won't even acknowledge that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I don't think he acted at all, but he's that far to the other side. Nice guy, brilliant guy, but not terribly aware. And I got him to actually listen to me about Clinton, and I just said, you know, here, let me see your phone. And I pulled up the site, and I said, take a look at this. Click out a couple of text links here. And I said, what does it say here? What does that say to you? And the part that I had him look at was Hillary Clinton was on the board of Lafarge when Lafarge was paying protection money to ISIS in Syria to operate a cement plant. And then they started to buy their oil from ISIS. And Hillary Clinton was part of that endeavor. And I mm-hmm. said, when Donald Trump says that she helped start ISIS, mm-hmm. that's one of the mechanisms. I said, that's not the only one, but that's one of them.
What was
and I said,
response?
There's your documentation. I said, there's the documentation right there. And he looks at it. He couldn't argue with it. It's cold, stone, provable. And he said, well, I still can't vote for Trump because he has no political experience. So I said, you'd rather have Lizzie Borden as president than someone with no experience. And I said, when she was Secretary of State, I said, we could go on about her record over and over and over, the missing money. It's unbelievable what's happening with people's minds. And I'm wondering, how do you go? I wrote this about Democrats. With all that's out there on Hillary Clinton's sociopathy, her criminality, the trail of bodies, all that's out there, how can anyone be a Democrat today? And I tried thinking about this for months, and I raised the question a few times, and I'll tell you, here's the conclusion. I'm guilty of not doing what I've been trained to do. Put myself in the place of somebody else. Why would I support Hillary Clinton if I were a Democrat? One, I'm going to get all the goodies because this criminal will shovel it my way. So I'm just as big a criminal as she is. That's one. That explains the military-industrial complex and, you know, the uranium industry, on and on and on. Okay. Now, the second reason is because people are just, they don't care. They would rather have a woman. She is appealing to me. I like her. I don't care about the criminality, and you could educate them till next Sunday with all the crimes that she and Bill have committed, and it wouldn't change some of these people's votes because they're just as immoral as she is. And then there's a third group called the Dumber Than a Box of Rocks group. You know, I got my Obama phone types. And this is why she has any support at all. And it's just amazing to me how many retrogrades we have in the Democratic Party. If you're a Democratic Party, you're either dumber than a box of rocks or you're just an immoral jackass.
You know, I approach it a little differently when I talk to people because I've moved beyond the whole party thing. I call it the party paradigm. If people are still stuck in the party paradigm, it sort of shames everybody. And I've broken it down to it's the people versus the elite. It makes people kind of coagulate together. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, it is the people versus the elite. Because they've got us in this party paradigm where we're fighting each other. I'm sorry, but the GOP just happens to be a little bit smarter about how stupid they are and about how corrupt they are. There are just, anybody who crosses the boundary into D.C., I don't know what happens to them, but we have a corrupted political class, and if we get people to think outside of the party system, the only person who's running really is not a politician. And so that's kind of the angle I'm taking. Get out of the party thinking.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
People are voting, I'm a Democrat, I've been a Democrat, my mother and father were Democrats, and I just have to vote Democrat because they're the party of the people. You know what? You are the people, and they are the elite, and they're going after all of us. So get them to think outside the
box. I agree, Katie. I only talk party when the other side's paradigm is there, because you have to meet the learner where they're at. But I do agree with you. The talks about right and left and Democrat and Republican are ridiculous, but people identify that way, particularly in an election year, so that's where I try to make my points. There's something else I want to bring up, and I have a podcast up on the Common Sense Show about this. It's really, really, really bad. That's three reallys. Russia has inked a trade deal with China and Mongolia, and they are running something across Siberia that'll include trade corridors, high-speed rail, all kinds of things like what we see with the planned CAFTA highways. They're doing their own version. But what's interesting is, on one hand, this is a multi-part presentation here, and I'll try to make it as brief as I can. Putin is reconstituting the Soviet Union. And what's interesting is Germany and London have agreed to be part of this endeavor and tie into this trade system. Oh, yeah. Only they're going to go through Turkey. Now, 2 years ago, when the Ukraine thing was all the rage, I said, don't get too locked into Ukraine. Look at Turkey. Russia and Turkey had inked a deal to have a major natural gas pipeline set up go through Turkey to bypass what was happening to their supply in Ukraine, since it was war-ridden. And it looked like it was going to go through, and I said, uh-oh, Turkey's going to leave NATO, and oh, we'll lose that first strike capability on Moscow, where we can hit them within 3 to 4 minutes, and this is really bad. I wrote that 2 years ago. People said, oh, you're panicking, Hodges. Well, now the deal is back on, and this is going in conjunction with this other deal. And London, the city, London newspaper, The Telegraph, reported this 2 days ago, and Germany has reported this as a whole. I think Der Spiegel, if I remember right, ran an article on this. This is really bad, because, number one, Russia can shut off about a third to about 35 to 40% of all European natural gas. Russia can shut off. That's how much they supply. They can make this winter really, really cold. And I'm telling you, NATO is going to fragment, and America is going to be left alone. Turkey has, in effect, left NATO. They have. I mean, right now, we're trying to protect our nuclear missiles. The rumors are that we sent them to Romania. They've denied it. But Russia wants to come on the base. This is crazy. And also, the Chinese have agreed to train Assad's troops. So now the Chinese, just like we did in Vietnam, we asserted ourselves into Vietnam with combat advisors, and then we eventually, through incrementalism, built up to full-scale involvement after a false flag. Gulf of Tonkin event, I'm sure everyone remembers, at least from your history books. Well, let's look at how this is going to play out. You now have Russia flying missions out of Iran into Syria. You now have the Chinese that are going to put their troops into place in Iran. Not Iran, excuse me, in Syria. And you have these trade deals. I mean, we are being isolated from our neighbors, and we're going to be destitute. I mean, first of all, this is the end of the petrodollar, which is the only thing that backs up our money. No one has any reason to ever come purchase a dollar before you buy oil. Now, all you got to do is go through the Russians, the Chinese, the Indians, the Brazilians, the BRIC nations. Katie, we're in deep, deep doo-doo. And what has Obama done to respond? I mean, any leader worth his salt would have had an alternative. Nothing. Crickets
chirping. He's been golfing, Dave. He's been golfing.
Crickets chirping. Yeah, exactly. And what we're looking at here is Obama's complicit. I mean, I've documented 9 times Sunday how criminal and treasonous Obama is. I mean, he's opened up the Alaskan shoreline to invasion, where they've done away with the F-22 overflights. They've done away with the majority of the submarine patrols. He's closed military bases to such a degree that the Alaskan state government formed a commission to try to slow them down because it was hurting their economy. Alaska is really in danger when Red Dawn begins, and that's the Red Dawn from the north, and of course there'll be the Red Dawn from the south. And there's another way that we're being isolated by Putin, and that's in Latin America. In Latin America, they had a meeting, 14, 15 months ago, and they had a meeting to discuss economic cooperation among American states, 34 nations. They left two nations out, Canada and the United States. And of those 34 nations, and I wrote an article about this, I detailed 12 nations that have detailed and extensive military relationships with Russia, including harboring their ships, having troops on their soil, taking Russian weapons. In fact, Brazil has even joined the Russian Space Command for killer satellites. So we're even being undermined in our own backyard.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If Trump does make it to the White House by the hand of God, how do you think that will change the scenario you just built with Russia? And you've heard Putin talk about wanting to speak with or deal with Trump. How do you think that would play out? Would it change the scenario?
We got about a minute, so let me be quick. Possibly. But I think if Putin's, he's a pragmatist. If he thinks he can bring America down by destroying us economically and boxing us into a corner militarily, I think he's going to do that. But I also think he does not truly want war, because we have that thing called 72 submarines that would be very difficult to destroy, all each carrying at least 8 to 24 ICBMs that can destroy cities. The Russians don't want to see that, neither do the Chinese in its final reality. But what we have here, and let me just lay this out clearly here in the final moments of the show. Obama was born to a communist, and I've written about that. You can research that at the search engine Common Sense Show. He was raised by communists. He was put into political office by communists, Bill Lehrers and Bernadine Dorn of the Weatherman Underground. He is a communist. He was put into power to basically destroy America, and Hillary Clinton will be the finisher. And this is why we need to continue to work hard. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Katie, we're in so much trouble.
Yeah.
We really are. And back to the election, it will take an act of God to get Donald Trump mm-hmm. elected, past assassination, mm-hmm. into the inauguration, because the martial law components are being put into place. Fort Carson, Colorado, and I'll have the documents up tonight in a podcast that I've done.
There's been a lot of activity.
Let me get this in, because we're almost to the end of the show. But very quickly, what we have here is in Fort Carson, they are starting martial law riot control drills with combat troops. Not National Guard, combat troops. And this you have to consider within the context of which it occurs, because you have, in Texas, UX-16, in which the administration's practicing against American rogue military units that have gone guerrilla. Same thing. Then you have the Vercas, who are in northern Colorado. Paul Martin's been on the show and talked about them. And what do? They were trained by the British to be anti-guerrilla warfare soldiers. And Paul has people that have talked to them individually. I could go on and on, but you get the idea. You get the idea. We're being set up. And with that, we have to set up for our close. Again, our sincere thanks go out to Patrick Wood for joining us. Technocracy.news is his website. Come back here next week, and we'll have another great show for you. Thanks for joining us. Go out and have a great week. God bless.
God bless.